Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday. Nope, it's Tuesday, April 9th, 2019. It's 9 o'clock. We're here for general discussion at the Board of County Commissioner Conference Room. All three commissioners are present. First item on the agenda for our general discussion is Committee of Corrections Quarterly Update. Good morning, Nate.
Hey, good morning, commissioners. Thanks for having me.
Morning.
I've got a few handouts for you. The first is the quarterly report. There. I have one for the record as well. The first bullet point under the significant agency notes has to do with the strategic plan and our goals. We completed that this year earlier in the quarter. And before you here is a bound copy of it. I also have a copy for your records. We're very proud of this document. We worked together as a leadership team to match our strategic plan objectives with each one of our goals. And so as you flip through the strategic plan, you'll see in the goal sections, each objective is represented in at least one of the goals that we have for our department, our treatment division, as well as our field services and our custody alternative programs.
Question.
I know it's a lengthy document, so if you have some time in the next couple of days to review that and get us your feedback, I'd appreciate it. We received some final approval from the Criminal Justice Commission to extend the female-specific secure treatment in the jail through the end of this biennium, which is June 30th. We're planning on transitioning the female secure treatment back to the male secure treatment pod. We also finalized an MOU, some language in collaboration with our legal department to officially partner with Grants Pass Treatment Center for the sake of consistent and effective treatment and supervision planning. A lot of the problems that we were having were associated with just lack of communication, and so the MOU clarified what the communication and responsibilities are from our agency to their agency, and we're hopeful that we'll be a little bit more collaborative with that.
They're on board with an MOU means it is understood by both parties?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. In February, we participated in the JRI Summit, which you're all aware of, hosted by the CJC, where Josephine County received specific praise from the governor on achieving some significant goals through collaboration with our DA's office, something that we're very proud of. Of note, we submitted our three-year data set to the researchers in partnership with Yamhill and Union counties. They're going to do an analysis on the effectiveness of the DARS, the Defendant Assessment Reports, which is what the governor had talked about at the summit. We applied for some JRI unspent funds at a tune of $150,000, including $120,000 for secure treatment expansion in the jail. We toured the jail with the sheriff as well as facilities and came up with a plan to renovate the jail and have another 10 beds that would be designated toward secure treatment for the other gender with that we're not serving currently. And so if we could get both of the genders, male and female, going at the same time, that was the intent of this request. The other part...
I'm going to ask, yes, that what if you have somebody that says, I'm gender neutral?
I don't know what
the jail has to deal with that, not corrections.
Yeah.
Not community corrections.
I'm asking this question. I don't know if it was a question for him or not, but you said he brought the subject up of the female and male, but if, you know, I guess I should ask the sheriff that, but I just wonder if there's there will be a third alternative at some time in this society. Not that I like it.
But. Our jail hasn't housed for more than two genders yet. And we have had transgendered folks on supervision, and for UA collection, because we observe UAs, it was whatever the southern plumbing is. Is what your observer was.
Using the eighth grade level of evaluation.
Yeah. No, but that we had to have somebody in the room with them, and how do you dictate that?
Sure.
It was a matter of, yeah, so that's how we determined what to do.
Their robotics will take care of it at some time, I'm sure.
So In the initial planning phases for developing specific continuity of operations planning, in partnership with the emergency services division, and we're going to hopefully get that completed by the end of this month. We're meeting next week with our leadership team and going to develop that plan and process specific to community corrections. We also submitted our estimated annual budget for community corrections, including narratives describing what our continued anticipated services will be. Of note, the state's grant and aid, the details will be released later on, probably in the next couple of months from the state on what our specific funding will be. So there will be some adjustments likely for the county's proposed budget, which we submitted a couple of weeks ago. The custody alternative programs, moving on to a little bit more specific division, we received a safety committee award for all the work crew foremen, saving the county insurance an estimated $28,800 for two consecutive years incident-free. And the way we came up with that figure is that roughly each incident cost the county insurance about $1,600. And on average, there's roughly 9 incidents per year. Well, if you multiply that out, it's about $28,800 in terms of savings. So the safety committee awarded all of our work crew foremen as the safety award, and we honored them last week at our department's custody alternative programs meeting. So they're very grateful for that. We're grateful to their attention to detail and safety. On the next page, parole and probation field services. I'm sorry, can we go back to the first page? This is something that we've been tracking a little bit for the custody alternative programs to estimate the jail dollars saved. Through the work crews, through home detention, through community service and other custodial credit. And if you look at the bottom number, $229,100 is what we're estimating to have saved the jail. So otherwise these folks would be incarcerated inside the jail as opposed to having custody alternative programs. And you know, we're tracking that savings for the county. The next page is under parole and probation field services. As you can see in the highlighted section on the far right column, we have an increase of our total population. We're about 1,150 folks right now. And of course, everything goes up, you know, in terms of the stress of the department and the amount of work that we're having to do with this population. So it's growing in numbers in terms of who we're supervising. We hosted a Board of Parole training update in March for changes at the board level. There's been some staff changes, including hearings officer and some other details. So we hosted that training for our regional partners as well as our practitioners attended that update. We had some official training requirements for certified POs that starts, we're in the planning stages right now, but it starts in 2020. Historically, we hadn't had the requirement by DPSST to have firearms and defensive tactics specific to maintaining your certification. Now the state is requiring DTs, ethics training, mental health training, trauma-informed training, as well as defensive tactics. Starting in 2020. We were already ahead of that curve for community corrections here locally, and we're now just going to continue that trend and comply with those requirements. Not just comply with them, but we're actually exceeding those requirements at this point. We completed and submitted our downward dispositional departure information to the contracted researcher in partnership with CJC. The initial data is really promising for continuing the current practice of defendant assessment reports. This is just one strategy that we have for reducing the prison usage, which obviously is being tracked by the Criminal Justice Commission. And so far it's been very successful. So the initial data analysis from our local practitioners, including myself, I'm thinking that this is a very good program, so we're going to continue that program. I've shared some of the details with our regional partners as well as the rest of the state, and it may be mimicked. You may see that that same program in other jurisdictions. Currently, Yamhill is doing it as well as Union County and, of course, us. We received high marks on our interstate compact audit, and Josephine County was recognized by state officials as having top marks in the state, so our practitioners are doing very well at interstate compact, and the compliance audit showed that. In our treatment division, we currently have 80 folks that are enrolled in our treatment. As you may recall, about a year and a half ago, we moved to serving all high-risk offenders that are under supervision in our treatment division. So anybody that's medium risk or low risk, we're outsourcing those folks to other community partners, and we are only serving the highest risk folks because it's an evidence-based tool. So we hired a new alcohol and drug counselor within this last quarter. She had started and is doing very well through the orientation process and, of course, the training associated with that. And then we also offered a contingent offer of employment to fill the other vacancy that we had, and she's currently in background process at this point. We appealed to the Department of Corrections on an initial draft. As you may recall, in my last quarter of the report, I talked about the CPC, which is called the Correctional Program Checklist. It's a fancy term for an audit by the state to make sure that we are in compliance with evidence-based practices. We received an overall score of 49, which is not passing. I think passing is 65. So we appealed to the CPC auditors, and that was to no avail, and they ended up giving us a 49 in that specific CPC score. So that's something that we're going to have to report on our next biennial plan to the state, that specific score.
Do they have someone or a panel or something that comes down and tell you what you're doing wrong, or you're supposed to guess at it?
No, they actually, it's fairly comprehensive. So the state comes down, they spend a day or two interviewing not only the practitioners, but also the leadership, and they also interview the participants in treatment. And they're making sure that there's some fidelity within the curriculum versus what they're actually doing day-to-day, group, individual treatment, and so on and so forth. So we've gotten all of the recommendations. We're going to modify our treatment division a little bit. We have been short-staffed. We have obviously a higher demand on our treatment division, so there's some administration adjustments that we need to make, and then of course the day-to-day operational procedures, we need to make some adjustments there. We contracted with an outside entity to update our policies. That was one of the scores that we needed to improve on, and other adjustments like that. But we're hopeful that our next CPC, which is scheduled for 18 months, I think, under OAR, we're going to pass that next one. But
it's just wondering if they gave you suggestions or what you missed out on, and where you can, how you can correct it. OSHA used to have a service nobody ever uses. If they have a service, you say, leave your ticket book in the truck, tell me what I'm doing wrong.
Right.
And they will come in and analyze your business in your shop, and maybe you need a switch plate on that, so on and so forth. But yeah, they don't charge you for it. And then you correct all that. So when the OSHA guy comes to town, you've got all the stuff correct, you get a better score.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, if the state fails miserably on their OSHA inspections, the insurance company keeps an eye on that and raises everybody's premium because you're an at-risk or hazardous state.
Yeah.
So it's better off if OSHA could come in and be your friend for one time instead of having that ticket book. I didn't know if they offer that same kind of service to you, or is it one of those, we got you. We're going to give you 49, we got you, and we're not going to tell you what's going on.
So there's two different auditors, if you will, from the state, and they're two very different processes. So the first is from the Department of Corrections, and the reason why they're involved in the CPC is that they're funding our program. So through grant and aid, out of all of the budgetary allotments that we get from Department of Corrections, we're funding the treatment division out of that fund. So they have the statutory obligation to make sure that we're adhering to evidence-based practices, and that's what our aim is. So we open it up for that specific audit. Now, there's another audit that happens through the OHA, and they came down actually the first part of April, and we're still waiting for their findings. And that's for certification of alcohol and drug counseling and the agency itself. It's not adhering necessarily to the same expectations that DOC has. So there's two entities that are doing these audits. And so we have to comply with both of them. And sometimes there's conflict. So anyway, it's a bit of a dance, but we're working through it.
Okay.
This last quarter, we've been making those preparations for the OHA audit for the next 3-year certification. We met with one of the auditors, and she is going to meet with us as a consultant for continued billing processes. One of the verbal findings that was presented to us last week is that we're missing a little bit on billing opportunities back to OHP. So we may enhance that billing procedure. And also, one of the issues that we're having is some technology issues with a database called Echo. And we've invested a lot of money into it over the last 4 or 5 years. And at this point, it's not working for us. So we may end up changing platforms in the next couple of
quarters. Are the other agencies in the community that are using the same one having the same difficulties?
Yeah, OnTrack had moved to another database, and so had, I can't remember.
Choices was the main one that went to it early on.
Yeah, so I had consulted with Karen Cady, and she had mentioned a couple of other platforms that we're going to have some folks come in and do some presentations on, see if it works for us, and then we may be able to customize those databases to help us with not only the billing process, but also the treatment plans and the treatment assessments. So
I know a few years ago they asked for a specialist for treatment just to help with that kind of administrative function. Is that something that you guys have considered?
Say that again.
Like an assistant for that division, have their own kind of support staff to
help
with.
Yeah, so we have a case specialist specifically assigned to the treatment division. We hired her about a year ago, but because we've been a little bit short staffed and we've expanded the services a little bit, you know, more with the secure treatment and with the ADIS and some of the other DUI obligations that we have, we're not able to specifically have the case specialist work on billing. So that's one of the things that we would like to see later on, just to be a little bit more efficient with the billing process. So, any other questions for me on the treatment side or field services or admin or custody alternative programs?
No, just a general question. Do you think it's working? The state plan to Justice Reinvestment Act.
I do.
To put more emphasis on treatment and outpatient style, or whatever they call it.
Yes, I do. And one of the reasons why I think it is important to kind of get behind it and support it is it's not dealing with necessarily the person-to-person violent crimes. It's more dealing with the folks that are engaged in alcohol and or drugs, property crimes, which is a symptom, I think, of the drug addicted population. So we can really target those folks, get them engaged in treatment, start helping them think differently, and we've seen success stories with that. And so I do believe that it is working, although it is newer, relatively speaking. But if we continue to get behind it, I think we're going to have an impact.
Well, and how do you reach Illinois Valley? Do you guys go out there, or do all those people have to come in here, or what?
We have an outstation that we're partnering with the sheriff's office. So one of our POs, his name's Matt Scaglione. He reaches folks out in the Illinois Valley and has office days out there.
Cool.
So
he's a split position though. He's not full time out there.
Right. He is. But he has other duties as assigned as well, including raid. So.
Okay.
Are you guys offering groups out there any longer?
I don't think so. I'd have to check on that. I don't think so, but I'll get
so
back.
For treatment and such, they do have to come to town.
Okay.
OnTrack previously offered treatment once or twice a week, but and Options goes out there for mental health. I was talking to Carla about services out there, and they go out there, but as far as treatment, it's all here. You mentioned applying for additional JRA funding mm-hmm. to redo the jail. When do you anticipate hearing?
Well, the CJC is supposed to come down on Thursday. They're going to do a presentation to our LIPSC, and hopefully we'll get some official word on what the findings are on our application. But from what I understand, just talking to Ross Caldwell from CJC, they're not really supportive of capital development projects at this time. They're more supportive of like trainings and things that are going to be spent like within December 31st of 2019 for this specific application, but there may be other funding sources available that we can apply for.
Are you guys doing anything with the coordinator position, asking for funding for anything with that?
Coordinator position. Oh, LIPSC coordinator mm-hmm. position. Yeah, that's something that was voted on at the last LIPSC meeting, or maybe the meeting before that, to write a letter of support to AOC, to have AOC continue to be the employer, but we're looking for funds maybe in the next JRI wave to split it between Douglas County and Josephine County at a tune of, I think, $60,000 per county. So
you're looking at putting in the justice reinvestment request?
Yeah, if the group decides to move forward with that recommendation to you as the board, yeah, that would that's the direction at this point.
Do the justice reinvestment requests go through the BCC? I thought you guys submit them straight to the CJC.
No, this last wave we had to partner, you know, with the Board of County Commissioners to get that endorsement and approval through BCC to go to CJC and get our funding. So yeah, it does go through the BCC.
Not all LIPSCs work that way. Some work independently.
Okay.
Just curious.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions, commissioners?
Just a couple more general ones.
Yes, sir.
Are you fully staffed? Are you having trouble finding people?
At this point, we just put out a contingent offer of employment for our treatment division. We still have, I think, two slots, maybe it's one slot, I can't remember, at the front desk for administrative purposes. But otherwise, we're fully staffed, but we're working very, very hard. And with 1,150 people on supervision and the treatment division and custody alternative programs, we only have, I think it's 39 staff currently. And that it's tough to do, but you know, in this current biennium, we're okay. The next biennium, I do believe that the state is going to support us. Time will tell with the current legislative session, but I'm confident that we're going to get continued funding and support from the legislative process. The next biennium, you know, I wish I had a crystal ball, but I just don't. And I do think that there's a lot of talk around community corrections, and is community corrections growing too big as a state and even nationally? Are we too big? Are there going to be cuts? Because that was what some of the messaging was at the GRI summit.
But you're offsetting jails.
Yes, jails and prisons.
And prisons. And
yeah.
But any more society's moving towards, oh, these poor people. Don't hold them accountable for the crimes they've committed. They're a victim.
Right there. Yeah.
Watch yourself.
Make a good point. There may not be another biennium. This may be the last biennium.
No, I mean, it is. There, most everybody we've dealt with in the system has had traumas in their past. Absolutely. They've been raised in a situation that, you know, but they're still...
A lot of it's hereditary.
A lot of it is generational. I supervised... there was... At one point, I had three generations in one family. Mm. Another, I had three more families with multiple generations. So at one time, I had four families with multiple generations that I supervised.
Cuts down on your travel time and catch them all at once.
No, they don't all live together, but yeah, sometimes. But, you know, it is one of those things that at statewide funding requests, more and more, everybody's asking for more. It's, and where does it give? How many POs do you have now?
18 certified.
And we were at a between 1,000 and 1,100 with 12 POs. So what's changed is how much time they're spending with POs and the amount of assessments they're doing with POs. And the face-to-face time has increased greatly versus 20 years ago where you have a checkbox. Are you working? Do you have a house? Have you used? You know, you kind of just go down a list. Now they're spending more time with, and that's why it takes more to get...
It's closing the crack so fewer people fall through it. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I'm encouraged to hear it's working, because I think that as we turn as a society and try and integrate more people back in instead of incarcerate, mm-hmm. I think it's a good trend. I want to make sure it's working.
Yeah.
That we're not the recidivism and continued abuse.
Are you going to Lipstick on Thursday?
Was not planning on it.
No. Okay. I don't know if I'm going to be there. We have the State of the County at 4. Mm-hmm. And so...
Oh, that's right. It steps on it a little.
Not quite sure what that's going to look like. So, and if we have to for the sheriff and DA to move them to the end or do something different, I mean, if they want to go first, get out of the way, or move them to the end to accommodate coming from Lipstick, we can do that, but...
Yeah, I think the Lipstick coordinator is aware of the state of the county, so she's going to try to facilitate that group and get them moving, stay on task in terms of the agenda and get them out of there roughly 3-ish, 3:30 maybe.
Cool. Well, thanks, Nate.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yep. Nice plan, too. Can't wait to look
you.
Through it.
Yeah,
yep. Nice to have.
Yeah, that's your copy.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Keep up the good work, sir.
All right, thank you very much.
I'm going to recommend we skip to the Animal Shelter Advisory Committee minutes. We might as well get that out of the way.
Sure.
And I asked Wendy to check on where Juvenile is.
Sure.
Are we, speaking of that, are we giving them times? I think we were supposed to be giving them times that don't be here until...
Yeah, I mean, I know our staff has tried to kind of give people a heads up that, you know, the quarterly updates are taking about a half an hour each, you know, so.
I didn't know whether, you know, it was, don't, you know, instead of sitting here all day going through everybody else's, just come in at 9:30.
Correct.
I didn't know if that was part of this agenda or not.
We haven't done that yet.
Okay.
But we did it with BLM last week. We gave them a heads up.
Yeah, I think the sooner we get on that, the probably the better,
yeah.
Because that was one of the topics at goal setting also is.
I think we were waiting for that meeting for you guys.
Oh, for the wrap-up, okay.
Exactly what you wanted.
Okay. It's kind of an interesting transition looking back through these minutes, even though one of them she accidentally signed as 2016, which is kind of funny. but just kind of the transition of things over the last year and just where they are and kind of getting... up to date on where we're at with stuff. Ongoing things have been software and reporting and complaints about what do you do after hours, which is stuff we all deal with. So anyhow,
I was surprised the number of cats he took in out there. Gosh, I'm surprised.
It's constant. They have litters right now.
Something cats in 1 month.
Yeah, 525. 475.
Bizarre.
Low month, 250.
It's constant, and they came up with a new policy recently about, I think, well, they're going to be recommending it to us soon.
How do they, are people catching cats and bringing them in?
Some, yeah. Or they drop off a cat that gives birth, or they find a litter of kittens and they bring them all in, yeah.
Golly.
Or they have the feral cat colonies and they go in there and, you know, one of our biggest expenses is getting cats fixed and finding vets that can deal with it. It's just constant. I don't know if you guys had any questions about any of them or not.
I just read through them, glanced through them.
So I guess we can go to the BCC key card access permissions. Trish, do you have anything for us on that?
No, it's just some different. I think Wendy and Phil, whoever was here on Friday or Monday, and on what different people who have been asking for access.
What's the ask?
Key card access, whether, you know, because we have people that want to show up at the door, do they get a key card to get in department heads? And the reason for that is?
They didn't have it before.
So Sarah.
Department heads. Okay, those are specific people. It's not a general department.
Okay, well,
so emergency management has an office space in here we've offered to them, so they should have the access. Legal has always had access, but no other department heads have ever had access. They always get buzzed in. They don't get a code, so they shouldn't have a key card access. But the ones that have office space here in legal, IT should have the key cards to everywhere on the county as far as...
Planet Earth.
As far as I'm concerned, they have the green badge is access to everything. They should have access everywhere. They all have to go through CJIS clearance at the level 3 level, which is the highest level. That means they've all passed background checks through the state police. There's no place that they should be allowed to go just the same as facilities goes everywhere. IT should be able to have access to all of their stuff, in my opinion.
Okay.
But...
So we got IT,
if there's specific
legal,
asks.
IT, legal, and
emergency
management.
Well, emergency management's only because they have office space.
And that's just one in particular, right? Just Ricky, or
I think we've offered that office space to any of them, especially if any of them are working over in the city and need help over there if they have to do stuff, but. To me, I don't know who's, even with our cards, what do our cards access? I don't know. I don't know who made the decision.
Get into Treasury. I tried mine the other day.
Yeah.
It wouldn't let me in. Nope, I had to have a human. I know. I knew there was money behind the door. I just couldn't get to it.
Keys to the kingdom.
Probably a good thing. No, just kidding.
For all of us.
One
last thing. I kind of like the doors locked and the making sure someone lets them in unless
and it wasn't
it's
all
a necessity.
It's not all the department head, but that's what I'm just saying.
It's only
there some people
Chantel
that came and asked
too. It's
about
not
it.
All of legal.
If you want to make a list of who you think needs to have a code of those cards, we need to get them those cards.
Well, everybody has the cards. It's a matter of programming the access.
Programming.
But who makes the decision right now? Is it facilities?
No, it's you three.
This hasn't come to us before. We've had cards for how many weeks and nobody's asked us what do we access?
But when there wants to be a change in whatever, I guess it would be.
But even the initial what do you have access to, that was
never discussed. Let's find out where the cards originated and get that person in here so we can ask them the question rather than each other.
Well,
we don't have the access for
them. But again, it's on the agenda, so somebody should have...
Trish.
Right.
Originally, facilities emailed Wendy, and because we were talking about not letting anybody have access, she gave access to us, and then put it on the agenda so that the people who have just asked to have access, that you guys can discuss it and decide whether you want those particular people to have access.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
And maybe we could get this on a future agenda and have a presentation. I'd like to see the sheet, that the access sheet, where it says these people have to that.
It's just us so far.
Unless you think it's fine.
None of us know what it is.
I know, right?
So.
No, we only know what we know.
Okay. So specifically, there was a group that asked.
And this is just for our office. They weren't asking for.
No, I understand.
Right, and there was like two people that asked.
Sarah and Ricky just asked at the end of last week, and Wendy didn't want to make the decision, so she put it on.
Okay.
On your guys'.
And then Pat Chantel should,
Pat
because
Chantel
of.
Pat Chantel had kind of mentioned it before, so she thought, well, enough people have come to me asking, so I'm going to put it on this.
I don't have a problem with those four.
Okay.
But.
Oh, no, me neither.
All right. I will check with Wendy to see if she has gotten update on juvenile.
Okay. Oh, she said he didn't answer.
Then I will, juvenile didn't answer. So is there any additional subjects or matters from commissioners?
No.
Nope.
How did AOC go yesterday?
You know, it was different. They didn't have a governance meeting and no natural resources subcommittee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so the schedule was off. And it seemed to be a little lighter attended until the end, and then there was plenty of people in the afternoon meeting. But as you know, it's crunch time. Half times tonight at midnight to switch the bills from one house to the other. And so they talked about the status of a bunch of bills. There's still a lot of discussion on the cap and trade one. Coming up with a complicated formula for people to get rebates on their taxes if you're at a certain income level. And it was hard to follow, and they explained it three times, I think. They were like, okay, this is going to be tough, but listen. But no, I missed you guys up there. I felt like I was outnumbered. But no major things to report. Just everybody's waiting to see what makes the cut. And then, of course, that isn't the end necessarily. If it did make the cut, they could stuff it in some other bill. So we'll see. The food was really good.
Well, that's a nice surprise.
It was.
It's usually just casserole of some sort.
No, it was roasted pork, pulled pork, and roasted vegetables. Oh my gosh, it was good.
So
lots of people going back for seconds.
Yeah, because
yeah.
No one was there, yeah.
Yeah.
First time they haven't had lasagna.
Right, some carby pasta dish.
Does our sheriff's office wear body cameras? Or do they just have them in the vehicles?
I don't know that they have body cameras.
I know our city police wears them.
I know city police does, because we passed that.
Because Department of Justice just issued some body-worn camera policy and implementation program, and they have some funding to go with that.
Who does? Who
did? The Department of, U.S. Department of Justice is issuing funding.
Well, we certainly should look at why we don't if we don't.
Well, I'll just forward it to the sheriff and so he can look at it. I had a 7 a.m. conference call with membership yesterday at AOC, and they would like us to reach out to different business partners that might benefit from being a part of AOC. And, I was kind of having a hard time of seeing, well, how is this a benefit for business or this and that? And but thought of it more and... then was over at Options. Greg Walden did a tour presentation. The staff went through the Hillside facility. They now have a medical clinic on staff and dental or in-house up there because they're finding folks that are just, it's too much to go all over town to try to go to 20 places to get services. getting them through the door the first time sometimes is the key towards getting them stable. So they're offering services there. And we sat down and different stuff. And so he was wanting specifically to see how veterans are being serviced through our mental health department and such as well. And then headed over to Medford. The Chamber of Commerce in Medford was the sponsor for the day for their meeting was Hunter Communication. And they asked me to come and John McCafferty. And then Greg Walden was the speaker there. And so I kind of saw as an opportunity, maybe Hunter would be one of those ones, or Moss Adams, some of these companies that work with multiple municipalities, how do they interact and are part of, I don't know, maybe those would be some membership things that AOC can reach out to. But it was a, I don't know, it was actually an interesting day. We came back and did a tour across the way at the public safety building.
The new one?
Correct.
Yeah.
Wear a hard hat?
I didn't hear what you said.
Did you wear a hard hat?
I did not.
Eye protection?
I did not. I jumped on the boards as a trampoline. I did not know there was a basement in that building.
Yeah, a small one.
Yeah. Kind of fun. Just never.
A lot of water infiltration they had.
Yes, it, they had to have sump pumps down there, yeah. Which was interesting. But
that's going to be a great new space, though.
It is.
Yep.
So this week is kind of crazy. I know we're in, I'm going to be working with Jason to get the state of the county wrapped up. I'm not going to ask the DA not to do 14 slides. If he can do them in 5 minutes, he can do them in 5 minutes, but it's a lot of data on there. One of the things I learned in grad school, because they had us do PowerPoint after PowerPoint, is that a person, a general rule is a minute per slide.
Well, he may just have it streaming behind him and not going to each slide and explaining the slide. A lot of times you just have it streaming behind you just to kind of break up the thing. I don't know what it is. That's his presentation.
Yes, but it's part
He's
of our presentation.
Minutes.
Yeah.
5 minutes. That's
so,
it. Pretty good about.
So 14 slides in 5 minutes, you're talking 3 slides a minute. And so it's just kind of one of those
right.
things
so,
that.
Question, do you want me to emcee this thing and then you take up at the end to do the county's commissioner's report?
I thought that's what you asked to do
no,
the other day.
That's, I just want to make sure.
Like confirm.
I would emcee if you didn't, but you asked to do it, so
yeah,
I'm...
that's fine, but I don't know if I ever got an answer, so...
I've asked Jason to come up with an agenda schedule with estimated times so we can get that out. There's still 2 departments that haven't submitted their things yet, or 3 departments, so he's staying on them. And... we're kind of go from there. So I, after the state of the county, I'm going to be driving to Springfield because we have the fire panel first thing. They said they were going to have the meeting in Southern Oregon, so I get to go to Springfield.
That's close.
That's almost Southern.
That's Southern Oregon.
Yeah, I just find it hilarious that they consider Lane County Southern Oregon.
That's Southern Oregon that counts.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And below Lane, it does.
Red Cross is the same thing. Oregon State University is the same thing. Southern Oregon to them is Eugene.
Yep.
So
we're gonna go to Eastern Oregon, Springfield.
Yeah.
But it means none of us are gonna be taking part in the Forest Trust Lands Committee on Friday.
Right.
Because we're all got something going on, this is banquet weekend. It seems like banquets are April. If you ever had a question of when every banquet and every nonprofit is, it's in April.
We went to the Bowls event on Sunday.
Yeah, Soup for the Soul.
Soup for the Soul, that's it. Packed.
Yeah.
People had got turned away, which is very unfortunate.
Wow.
At the door. They just didn't have the capacity and people weren't roaming through fast enough. But it, you couldn't even walk in there. You had to push up like you were at Disneyland getting in line.
Yeah.
But what a great event. So they're already talking about how to get a bigger venue or have 2 nights or something. My wife's on that board now, the ROC board. So.
It's a good one. I was on it and I stepped down when I became commissioner just for time and stuff.
Sure.
But,
yep, she's enjoying it.
Very cool. Well, what are your thoughts on Lipsick as far as Lipsick is 2 to 3:30 on Thursday with the state of the county starting at 4?
Right, since I'm not presenting, I'd be happy to go to Lipsick and let you guys prep for the event, and I'll just show up and watch you.
You gotta be introduced.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna say anything.
I'll
stand up and take all my...
You haven't seen the agenda yet either.
That's true.
By the way, you're on it.
Just a quick 15 minute, quick half an hour by the new commissioner. What do you think?
Well, I think all three of us could fill 15 minutes about any time we wanted to, so...
Probably easily. All right, well...
So that's Thursday at 2?
Correct, over at the Green Hill Conference Room.
Got it.
Awesome. All right, if there's nothing further, we can be adjourned at 9:46.